Let me share my screen. Give me 1 second to pull up the right source sheet. Let's see if this works. Fantastic. Give me 1 second, actually. Way too many things. All right, this should do the trick for now. Here we go. Excellent. Everybody see the source sheet? Okay, so I wanted to just discuss the last few Makoros we closed with last time, take a closer look at them. We were discussing Mechila in Hezek Re'iyah, whether you could be Mochel, your neighbor, harming you through Re'iyah. We saw on this issue a rush. That was the last source we discussed. We saw the Ramban, who held that you could always retract your Mechila because you could say, kind of Mekachtelis argument, that you thought you could deal with it. So you always have the ability to be Chozer for the Ramban. The Rush had a different view. What was the Rush's position? Josh, Hurt. Guys, look at Josh's library. He's got a nice wood paneled room there, just surrounded by his books. Nice room.
Thank you, but I wasn't really paying attention. Just to be transparent, so I don't know the question.
Josh, the question is, what's the Rush's view about Mechila? Whether can you be Mochel on Hezek Re'iyah?
I think it's you're not able to be Mochel on the actual Hezek Re'iyah part. Like the Mamonos you're able to, but not necessarily the damage. Like it's an inherent sin. So it's not.
So you're kind of half wrong, half right. I would say more in the wrong camp than in the right camp. But take a look at this formulation here, if you could see it. This is the Rush that's highlighted. If there's evidence that you are Mochel, so then that's binding, right? You can no longer assert a claim of Hezek Re'iyah. Mm-hmm. He said, how does this cohere with the sugya in Bava Kamma, which says that you could always retract your mechila, allowing somebody to rip your garment or to break your kalim. So the Rush distinguishes between the cases, and he says this. You want to read this for us, Josh?
Shani halcha de tvias mamon yesh b'nayan, sh'nischayev kol echad l'chaber l'sayev b'binyan hakotel, v'havei kamo sh'nischayev lo mona u'machla lo alav sh'zacha below Kenyan.
Great. So what's the Rush saying? And I want us to think about this for a minute. What's the Rush's point here?
You have this obligation to help build the wall. And you are able to be Mochel on it.
Mochel on what, right? So the Rush is saying, look, for regular Nezikin, you can't be Mochel. Suddenly here you can be Mochel. Why is that?
I think it's just because it's built like it's kind of, I guess, preventative in nature. Like you're able to be Mochel that, you're able to be Mochel the wall. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, what does that mean? So what does that mean you're able to mochel the wall? Ariel, you want to help him out?
Yeah, I guess because they're both, it's not one is doing this kind of moments the other, but they're kind of both working in this together to build a wall since they're both having some sort of isuk with the mamon aspect, then they can be mochel on each other.
Sort of, but say a little more sharply, right? So what explains the case where you can't be mochel and what explains the case where you can be mochel? Josh, did you have a hand on this? Josh Brockman?
Yeah, I think it's that over here he's saying it's less about like some kind of like Nezikin, and it's more literally you just have a monetary obligation to pitch into the wall and you could be Mochel that monetary obligation.
Yeah, that sounds a little closer to being right, meaning the case where you cannot be Mochel is a case of harm, case of Nezek, right? So Nezek, you could always walk back in Mechila. The case where you can be Mochel is where it's really just a financial obligation. right? A financial obligation to build a wall, that is subject to mechila. Right, Josh Rothman? That's a distinction? Yeah. And that's what I think the Rush is getting at here, right? When he says, our case is distinguishable from the harm, rip my shirt, break my jug case. Because here, it's tvias mamon. How is it tvias mamon? Because each neighbor has a duty to just chip in to build the wall. And therefore, it's really just like a debt. It's just a financial debt. Bahavik emotion is kaiv lo mana, umach lo lo. You could always be mochel on a debt. You could waive a duty to pay up an financial obligation. Here, it's about waiving a financial obligation, not about being mochel on a zikin. Josh Hurt, does that sound good? Excellent. Ariel, do you agree with that formulation? Okay. Romy had a question on this, and I think, Romy, are you going to ask the question that I'm about to ask? Let's hear your question, Romy.
It's not that question. It's really just about whether or not you can, it's a unretractable makila, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Meaning?
It's not.
Yes.
It's not like you can't be mochel on nezek, and then whatever. I guess what I'm wondering is just the distinction, what the difference is between financial obligation and nezek that one should be retractable and one shouldn't be, unless you just say that, you know, the tzar, like you can't really conceive of how much what you're being, you can't really comprehend the feeling of having all your stuff broken until it's actually all broken. So once it's broken, you could be like, wait a minute, I didn't actually mean that. As opposed to you can comprehend what it means to lose money.
It's interesting. So you're saying it's just about reconstructing people's intentions and what could they reasonably waive, like know what they're waiving, things like that.
Right. I mean, I'm wondering what the difference is.
That's one way of thinking about it. And a different way of thinking about it is about protecting interests. So, you know, we want to protect people from being harmed, but people could certainly give away their money, so they could always just be mochel it, right? So if it's just a financial obligation, they're not really being harmed, it's just the equivalent of them making an informed transfer. Right. Well, so it's like sometimes it's called like a fuche mitarti lamali. Why should we?
Okay, I guess my question is, what if I burn my money?
Can you burn your own money?
Yeah.
Probably. But that's like self-imposed harm. Right?
I'm saying, would I be able to let somebody else burn my, like?
Oh, yeah. But then
what if I set aside that amount of money for a kotel, but instead of foregoing it, I burned it? I burned it.
Right. I have to think about that. What would happen in that case? But bear with me for one second, Romy, because you're raising an important point about why is it that you could always retract mechila on nezikin, but not in. So, but for mamon, it's decisive. It's a good question. I want to bracket that for a moment and just focus on the hezek re'ia point in front of us. What's controversial about the Rush's formulation here in the shiny hacha? What surprises you? Benji, do you have a thought on this?
No.
Okay, that's fine. Zacharia, I saw you out of hand.
Yeah, I think we tried to read it last year as in Shani Hacha, the Tfiyas Mam Yesh Benehem, that it's the Hezek Re'iah exclusively produces a Tfiyas Mam. There's not really kind of nezek in any classical sense here. It's just like, okay, we're in a situation of hezek re'iah, so now we each have to contribute to a wall. If we're mochel, nothing's happening anymore. Is that a little too extreme?
So say a little more about that. So what's controversial about the Rush's formulation then? And
I mean, his distinction, he's saying it's not really a classical nezek. It's just a kind of a monetary kind of construction. Property law, not really.
Yeah, good. So it's just his formulation that it's just a debt, just a property law, and not harm at all. It's a big chiddush, right? It's a big chiddush to take hezek re'iah out of nezek and talk about it exclusively in terms of property, right? All hezek re'iah reduces to is a duty to a zoning type of law. And since we could always say, hey, I received the money to satisfy the zoning requirements, I could be mochel on that on receiving that money as well. Kari, that's your point? Okay. Yeah, so Zachariah is saying, Zachariah is going for a very strong read of this rush, that the rush has moved away from conceptualizing Hezekiah as Nezek altogether, right? It's not even Nizkei Mamon. It's a non-Nezek type of issue. It's just a property law issue. Everybody agree with that reading that Zachariah is going for? Anybody have an alternative reading? Josh? Give a hand.
This is an alternative, but maybe can you support it maybe with remember we had the case of like Hezekiah Derabim, which kind of didn't really make sense because like you weren't actually the one doing the Zekin. Maybe that can kind of support that it's just kind of like a monetary obligation to help out your neighbor.
100%. I think that works very nicely with that, with Zachariah's way of thinking here. In fact, one of the main questions that we're going to take up after Yontif is to what extent should we. The chakira that the Achronim raised, which is sometimes formulated as a shutfut halacha versus this being a nezek halacha, which I think the best way to characterize is exactly what Zachariah and you put it now. Is there even harm in Hezekiah, or is this just background interest for designing property rules in a certain way? Right, Josh? That's the way you and Zachariah are looking at it. Yeah. That I would say is a very strong reading of the rush. It's controversial though, in that we're taking Hezekiah outside of the category of Nezek. Okay. Does anybody have a different way of reading the rush? There might be a different way of reading the rush. I think it's going to run into issues, but everybody, what do you think? Ned, do you have a different way of reading the rush?
I'm not so sure. Just the way he speaks of having a chiyuv l'sayo b'nyan kotel, meaning it might just have to do with the contribution that you're being mochel on, but at the end of the day, you still need a wall. I'm not sure.
Well, I think that's still consistent with Zachariah's reading, because you're saying all Hezekiah amounts to is the duty to construct the wall a certain way.
No, but at the end of the day, the wall still needs to be present. It's just your mochel on your contribution, so the other guy has to pay for the 100% of expenses.
But that's fine. Meaning, but when we talk about your duty is not to forbear from Hezekiah. Your duty is simply to satisfy the zoning requirement, right? That exhausts your responsibility. So let me just say it my way then. Zulti, Daniel, do you have a different way of reading this rush?
The only thing I could think of is that like maybe the Kmo could be read a little bit differently. I'm not exactly sure, I'll be honest. But I don't know, because right now you want to say like, oh, so we treat it as if it's just a zoning law, right? And we're just treating it. But maybe like, okay, so I guess maybe like Zachariah's way of reading it would have to be like a stronger kimo where we're treating it like a zoning law. But like, maybe we could say, it's not really that it is a zoning law, but based on the circumstances of what has arisen, we're going to have, like, we have no way, other way of treating it, but like a zoning, like the way you treat a zoning law.
But are you still agreeing that there's no Nezek in your view, right? Hezekiah is non-tortious. It's just
there is Hezekiah, but you just can't do anything about it because they kind of offset each other. And instead we just have to treat it therefore as if it's just like a zoning law.
Okay. Maybe. Romy, you have a hand.
Is it possible to say that the Tfiat Mamon is he has a claim on Mamon against you because of the Nezek you've caused, or you have a claim against him because of the Nezek you've caused, and that's what you're being mochel?
Okay, yeah, I think that's the other way of reading this, meaning there is Nezek, right? So Hezek Riyashmei Hezek. But what happens, worst case scenario, if the guy's mazik you, right? What are you entitled to? Okay, you're entitled to some remedy. What's the remedy? A tviyas mamon. What's a tviyas mamon? To build some wall, right? So why can't you just be mochel on the remedy itself, right? Meaning, what difference is there between him being mazik you and paying up, and him being mazik you and you being mochel on the payment? Romy, is that your point? So what do you think of that? Would that be a good reading of the rush? Shmuel, do you like that? I saw you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's compelling. I'm not sure it reads in necessarily as well, but I definitely wouldn't argue with it.
Okay, so Shmuel saying, you know, may not read as elegantly in the rush itself, but conceptually have no objection. Is that right, Shmuel? Okay. There's some hands here. So Zolti wants to jump in, then Ned. You're muted.
How would you read then the not unbolded? Like, how would you read that into it, the unbolded part of what you highlighted?
Meaning, how is this? This part or?
This part? What significance would that play in the reading?
Well, I guess the idea is that he's mazik you. What's the remedy? The remedy is that he has to be misalik his hezek riya through binyan akotel, and then you're just mochel on the remedy. Right, so it's wrong for him to be mazik. Hezek riya is a tort, but the only remedy for the tort is to be misalik it through binyan akotel. So you're just mochel on the.
So then we're redefining with the purpose of the binyan akotel.
Right, meaning the purpose of the binyan akotel is to remedy the tort of the hezek riya, right? And Romy's saying, well, just be mochel on the remedy. That's what.
That doesn't really work because the thing that's mechayev you to build a kotel is not the tiyat mamon. It's hezek riya. That's why it doesn't read so well.
Yeah, this exactly. is a hot take. This is a hot take.
Yeah, yeah. So 100%.
I don't believe what I said. I was just offering that to the reading.
Correct. I think there's a real problem with that approach in that, and I want to raise the following distinction, which we should be sensitive to throughout the year. And that is a distinction between what's sometimes called primary duties and secondary duties, or primary rights and secondary rights. Anybody familiar with that distinction? So you could think of there's a primary obligation, which is not to harm you. If I breach the primary obligation, so sometimes that generates a secondary obligation, right? To make restitution, to make a payment of damages. Does everybody see that? But those are two very different things, right? And the secondary obligation, which arises from the breach of the first, doesn't fully terminate or satisfy the initial wrongdoing, right? So I cut off your hands, I have to pay damages. The primary obligation is to not cut off your hands, not to be mazik. The secondary obligation is that if I did, I need to pay out a certain type of damages. Does everybody see that? So if you were to apply that to our case, then you would say, oh, I have a primary obligation not to be mazik you with the re'iya. If I breach that, then I have a secondary obligation to build a wall separating or chip in for a wall separating our properties. Then the rush says, oh, but since you could always be mochel on the wall, you could be mochel on hezek riya. But I think Romy's right to know that would be a fallacy because there's nothing about being mochel on the secondary obligation that should constitute a mechila on the primary obligation. Everybody see that? So if the rush's theory is really motivated by an Isser Lahazik Biriya, but the Isser Lahazik then gets instantiated through Chiyuv Mamon to build a wall, and the rush is saying he can mochel on that, that's a really problematic argument because just because you can be mochel on the mamonist remedy does not imply that you are mochel on the primary obligation, not the mazik biriya. Does everybody see that? Yeah. So it's very important to keep those two things in mind. And for that reason, I think that would not be a good reading of the rush. Ned, is that what you were going to say? Or
was that? No.
Is that what you were going to say in response to Romy's reading, or are you going to say something else?
Yeah, I was just going to say how, according to that reading, the distinction between where he draws the own distinction of Kirak Sati and Shimer Kadi. So they're both, according to his understanding, they're both cases of Lichatchila Nezek. And in that case, Chazara would not work, while in this case it would. So I just think this.
Exactly. Meaning if you take Romy's initial formulation, which he doesn't like, it's very hard to see what the distinction between the Karak Susi case and the Hezekiah case is, right? Because both have financial remedies that are secondary obligations arising from the breach of the primary obligation. Right, Ned? Yeah. So I think Zakaria's formulation is correct. The Rush here seems to be a very radical proponent of the view that Hezek Re'ia is not really about Nezek at all. Hezek Re'ia is more about this property issue about zoning laws and how we want to regulate the use of different types of properties against each other. Okay, that's a really important point. That's the Chakira that we're going to pick up with after Yontif. Okay, we'll just look at some Achronim who formulate this issue. So put that on hold for now, and we're going to come back to that. Okay, good. Now, I wanted to take up the second Chakira. This Chakira we'll zoom in a little bit on for today. And that is within the Nezek world. So zooming in with one side of the previous Chakira, assuming that Hezek Re'ia is a type of Nezek, what type of Nezek is it? Right, and this is what we saw last time. Is it Nezek directed against the person? Or is it Nezek directed against the person's property? Okay, sound familiar? And we saw different formulations in the Rishonim. The Ramban seems to think that Hezek Re'ia is a kind of Nezek Haguf, Adam Ba'Adam, in that it causes a certain type of tsar. Okay. Against that position, we have this Chuv of the Rush, which we closed with last time, called Tzadi Chesem and Yud. Very fascinating fact pattern about a house that had windows that were open. Everybody saw this Chuva of the Rush? Yeah. So we don't have to get into the details of the fact pattern, but very interesting fact pattern. And the important thing for us is this formulation down here. So the Rush here gives us a nice formulation of why Hezek Re'ia is wrong. Who wants to just take us through this formulation carefully? Volunteer. Ned?
Yeah,
so it's one way Hezek Re'ia. Balachalon is mazik the balagina. What does the nezek consist in, Ned?
The limitation of possible activities.
The limitation.
Possible private activities.
Okay, so limitation of possible private activities. What kind of nezek is that? Limitation of possible private activities. Just nothing deeply conceptual, just from the language of the Rush.
Nezek tashmisha.
Give me a better formulation. Give me a better formulation from the Rush's own language.
It's sitting by this game I'm on. You didn't have said it.
Okay, Gina Nifteda. What does that mean?
At the end of the day, because you're not able to work the Gina as best as you could have had the Hezek Re'ia not existed, so the Gina is worsened, damaged as a result.
Okay, good. The Gina is harmed, right? The Gina is lost. Why is the Gina lost? So you could think of this very much in property terms, right? Ki eno yachol lehishtamish bo tashmish tsanua mipnei hezek riyato. So you can think of a garden, right? A garden has many usages. Let's just say, what are the uses of a garden? Planting. What else do you use a garden for? Reading, walking, strolling, conversing, whatever it may be. So there's like a set of things that our gina is used for. When your neighbor has a chalon open to your garden, you lose some of those usage of the gina. Correct, Ned?
Yeah. I think this is within the riff, right? This is, he has to explain he's trying to show how everyone would hold this.
So even Rabbi Yossi, right? I think that's really the...
Oh, is it the riff? I see there's two options. Okay. Yeah.
So his main point is that it's Hezek Re'ia because the Gina is Nifsedas. Why? Because you're losing these functions of the gina, right? That seems to be the main point. So the idea is that I own a certain object, the object has certain uses. If some of those primary uses of the gina are taken away by your hezek ri'ah, that's considered you're destroying my gina. I think that's the theory, right? There's actually a very interesting contemporary example in American jurisprudence. And anybody know what regulatory takings are? Anybody know what the eminent domain clause is? Yeah, so eminent, Ezra, you want to tell us what eminent domain clause is?
To the extent of my knowledge of it, it's basically the government has the ability to force an exchange of land where they can take a private land turned to public property, and they believe they are required, at least in America, to pay for said land.
They pay just compensation, right? Yeah, fair compensation.
Yeah,
right, but the government can take whatever property they want, whatever land they want. So there's something called a regulatory taking, where the government says, you know, we're not taking your land to build a national park on it or a railroad. We're taking your land to make it just to limit your use of it with regard to certain things. It's called a regulatory taking. So we say, all right, the Zoltys have an estate in, I don't know, Bergenfield, Teaneck. So we're protecting these white spotted lizards in Teaneck. So the Zoltys can't hunt white spotted lizards on their land. Or things like that, right? They'll say the Zoltys can't develop their land because there's an endangered species that lives in it. That's a regulatory taking, where they're not taking away your property, but they're limiting certain uses of it based off some concern that they have. That's analogous, and it's very controversial whether they can do that. Is that really a taking of land, or is that just a limitation of use? There's a lot of fights about this question. That's very analogous. The nachdimin is whether the government has to pay compensation or not. So some people say if the government takes away certain usages of your land, that's basically taking away the land, right? They're ruining your effective use of your property. Here you have an analogous issue in the rush. The rush's point is that if your neighbor is mafsid your tashmish tsanua, then he's mafsid ginatza. And that's where the hezek of hezek re'iyah lies. Ned, are we in agreement?
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, that sounds good as a reading of the rush? Okay. So the rush is a super property-oriented person in his interpretation of hezek re'iyah here. No mention of nezek haguf. It's actually meduyak that the rush not only believes that this is lost to the property, that it's not only is it a limitation of use, but that's fundamentally a type of niske mamon, because what the harm is not in limiting the things that you can do. The harm here is in the loss of the gina. Does everybody see that? So we were not even thinking this in terms of limiting your activities. Remember last year we had this chakira. You know, we could talk about the chilling effect that your neighbor's watching has. Maybe that's a kind of imprisonment. Chaya gave the example of like Sheva, so you're locked, you can't move around as much. But the rush is not going in that direction. The rush is into minyas tashmishin, but from the property perspective, right? The loss to your gina. Okay. Ariel, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I just put two and two together. They're both the rush, but do we have to worry about the rush before we were asking if it's going to be niske mamon or if it's going to be just usage of zoning laws and communal property rights? Did the rush have to align his opinion here and there?
It's a good question. We want to be open-minded about that when we synthesize to see how they align. But, you know, at least the rush is pretty consistent, meaning he's not like saying Ramban niske haguf in one place and then saying zoning laws in another place, right? So
But could we read, like, how would one read, like, I could see the Niskei Mamon here pretty clearly, but how would one read in the zoning laws into the
Russian? Yeah. Good. Hold off on that thought. I would just say a regalachas, one way to reconcile that is to say, you know, for something to be a nezek, there has to be some immediacy or directness, some like wrongfulness in your action. Whereas here, it's more about conflicting usages, right? So like there's some fact of the matter about your friend's windows undermining the use of your property. That doesn't have to be tortious. It's just like it's still like an economic puzzle, right? How do we reconcile the contradictory? How do we maximize the usages of both interest holders? You see that, Ariel? So I think there's a way to reconcile this language with the property language. Yeah, but right now, for our purposes, I think it's just clear to think in terms of Nezek, and just try to define where the Nezek lies, right? Like the mamon loss of property versus the tsar discussion. Romy, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, what's the value? Like, you know, according to this interpretation, that it's more property focused than a matter and not a matter of minyan tashmishin. Like the value is that we don't want people to devalue other properties for the sake of the property.
So this is interesting. I would say, you're trying to think of what's the Nafka Mina formulating it this way. Correct?
Yeah, right.
The Nafka Mina, or you want something more like value driven? Like what's the underlying
concern? Yeah, I guess I'm asking more like what's the Mechayev kind of thing? Like what are we concerned about? What is Halacha concerned about that it created Hezegriya or that Hezegriya exists?
Yeah. Let me just say for now, one way of distinguishing between like the pure Minyas Tashmishin formulation and the Rush specific formulation, you might say the Rush has a higher threshold because he says Hagina Nefseda, right? Like there's some, like the Gina now is lost, right? Or loses its purpose.
Well, is the Gina lost or the Gina just loses something?
I would say the Gina is lost. What do you guys think? Is the Gina diminished or is the Gina lost?
I definitely know that it's diminished. But
the scope of what the Gina is now like made
limited.
Smaller.
Yeah. He's even moded that it's not like you didn't lose all your Yachal Yishamash Rabbitashmish Sanua. You could sell other Tashmishin. So it's not like it doesn't.
Yeah, but that's.
You're saying the definition of Gina is not, it's no longer what it was.
Right.
It has a different definition now.
Correct. That seems to be crucial to what a Gina can provide. And it's Nefedes when it's not able to provide that. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Ned, you had a hand on this?
Okay, so
how does that translate for our issue?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to just saying that a person is harmed by not getting all the uses that he wants to get out of his property or maximal uses or that he loses some uses. Here it seems to be a use that undercuts like one of the basic purposes, like the main
meaning
function.
It's actually more Mako version. It's not saying you need to be able to use it maximally. It's just saying if you totally chain, you know, take away what the person had, then that's a problem.
Exactly. You know, I had a Gina and now I don't have a Gina. That's kind of that's the argument. In the same way, let's say, if a person had as opposed to just saying that a person can no longer do all the things they want to do in their property, right? I think those are very different. Ned?
Yeah, so you'd have to say, I mean, we haven't really gotten to it, so I might be jumping the gun a little bit, but when he talks about the chazaka, so there, what's muhsak is that the bala gina doesn't care about his gina. It's not that there are certain activities. It's very difficult, though, within the Rashta, because he seems to, why should it be that it could be reversible, no?
What could be reversible?
If the end result is that the Gina is nifsedet, so it's just a financial thing. He could decide one day that he doesn't want it to be nifsedet.
I think that's probably true.
But it's not true, because if the chazaka, according to the Rosh, at least, if he has the chazaka, if he has the chazaka from the original house, it makes no difference if the other house fell down.
Interesting point. So why is that bad, though? So that just means that you could have a chazaka that the against the usage of a gina, right? I don't think that's problematic per se.
So it's not about the usage, though. It's the end result is that it's nifsedet.
Yeah. You could have a chazaka even against the viability of the gina. It just speaks to what you could achieve in machzaka, I think. All right. Okay, so I want to look at another formulation that's clearly taking a stand on this way of looking at things. So two formulations I want to call to your attention, both from the Sma, one in the Prisha, one in the Sma. So you have the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Ayin Ches. Siman Shin Ayin Ches is where the Shulchan Aruch talks about the Isser to be Mazik. So you could see here, for example, Asa L'Hazik Mamon Chaveiro. And if you do cause harm, you got to pay out damages, et cetera, et cetera. And then the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Hey, Afilu Biri Yato, Im Yesh Bo Hezek L'Chaveiro, Aser L'Histakel Bo. So where the Shulchan Aruch delineates all the types of Nezikin, he says, oh, by the way, there's also a species of Nezikin through just looking at somebody. Right? Everybody saw this? Okay. And then the Shulchan Aruch cites, remember that memra that we saw in the beginning of our Gemara. So the Sma is a little puzzled. Why does the Shulchan Aruch cite only this memra? Why doesn't it cite like all the dinim of Hezek Riyah? Why specifically this thing? So the Sma here says, trying to explain this issue. So I take a look at this for 1 second. I'm just going to put on the air conditioning. All right. So what's the Sma point here? Very nice Sma. We've got a chance to see this. Sorry.
Yeah. So he distinguishes between two kinds of things which semantically are damage hezek through sight, but he's saying there are two different categories. The category of the Kofman Dalid or kind of hezek riyah of a chatzer to chatzeros, that's indirect and only kind of a grumma because there's nothing, no damage from the site itself. So he says, mishum de sham hariyah mitzat atzma ino saben hezek, the site it's seeing itself doesn't cause damage. Ala shagramis hezek kuyon shechaver lo yaseh iskav b'chatzer mikoach sheboshimenu. So because the guy's going to end up not doing certain asex there because he's embarrassed. And then I didn't really understand this line. Oh, she yirish yavolo hezek hasagas kvul. Oh, shar nyan kiyotzbeidim. Or he's scared because of this hezek riyah that he'll get a hezek of border encroachment or other things like that. I don't really know how that's relevant at all. I don't know. Am I missing a reference to something?
So what do you think is going on there in this smile? I was puzzled by this a little bit. But Zahir is definitely right. So the Sma is distinguishing between Hezek Riyah that is direct, right? Direct Nezek, and Hezek Riyah that's very loose, very indirect.
Right. We talked about this when we saw like the Shudah Rambam, right? There's just because it's damaged through sight, they're two different phenomena.
Yeah, that's right. So one example that he gives of classic Hezek Riyah, I mean the Kufnan Dalid, Parak Aleph Hezek Riyah stuff, is Shechaver lo yasa iska b'chaser mikach shebosh mimenu. So I just want to flag this formulation. It's similar to the Rush in that it's certainly Minias Tashmishin, correct, Romi? It's definitely Minias Tashmishin, right? So there's a chilling effect. You're not going to do the things that you normally do, you want to do. But notice, it's not clear that this undermines the purpose of a chaser, right? I don't know if I would say that I don't have a chaser anymore because, true story, my neighbor told me not to play basketball, shoot hoops, like on the hoop that I have in my driveway, because it's a bouncing ball, like too loud for them. So it's like, what good is a driveway if I can't shoot hoops in my driveway, right? It's just like, now it's worthless to me. That's the rush. That's the rush's perspective. So in order to say like a Hezekiah type claim, you'd have to show that like a primary function of the thing is has been destroyed. I think the SMA has a much weaker formulation. He seems to think that Hezekiah is simply the fact that, you know, you can't do the asakim because there, right? Because you're embarrassed. Not necessarily that you lose a primary function of the thing in the first place. So that's just two variations or two different ways of formulating this minyas tashmishin side. Everybody agree with that? Yeah. But then notice this, and I think this supports the differences between the rush and the sma. Oh, sheyare sheyavalo hezek hasagas gvul. What do you think is going on there? So that's supposed to explain why there's a chilling effect. Daniel?
Is it possible that he's fearful that the guy might see his field and like see something nice and may trespass and go into the field?
Okay, maybe. But Hasaga, let me motivate a little further, Zilti. I think you're not far off. What does Hasagas Gavul usually connote in when we talk about Hasagas Gavul?
I don't know.
You don't know? Shmuel's good tell. Shmuel's a Hasagas Gavul expert.
Yeah, generally we're talking about competition. That's the
competition, right? Yored l'toch umenus chavero, colloquially known as Hasagas Gavul. So what do you think the concern there is?
I mean, it's hard for me to conceptualize it sort of from my experience, but potentially like the fact that there's no partition there means that sort of the business aspect of the land is diminished in some way, shape, or form.
Why is the business aspect diminished?
It's hard for me to really put my finger on it. Not entirely sure what he was getting at.
Somebody help Daniel?
Once you reveal your secret sauce in your field, you know, your competitive edge is kind of absent.
Yeah, you're gonna lose your trade secret, right? I mean, if everybody could see you pouring the ingredients into your Coke machine, then everybody knows how to make Coca-Cola, right? So you got to have a place to hide your trade secret. So I actually think that's exactly what this mile is getting at. Chari, are you on board? He's saying, look, you know, people do their asakim in the chat there, right? If that's open to everyone's peering eyes, then how are you going to keep your trade secrets under wraps? Everybody sees, everybody could watch your everyone could observe how you do business and just compete. Chari, what do you think?
I wasn't sure if Hasagas Gavul was used in that. I thought that might have been like just like a super like colloquial modern thing. I don't know. Is that how I'm a Mefarshim, Tom?
No, I think the early Achronim have that also. Meaning I think that phrase Hasagas Gavul already appears. I mean, it really comes from the Gemara, I think. I think the Gemara might have one line where it uses it that way. But definitely the early Achronim use Hasagas Gavul to connote competition. Mm-hmm. But I think Zilti's suggestion is really good, right? A private space where you could keep your trade secrets under wrap. Ned, you like that or you don't like that? You don't like that?
No. I think that the precise content of the sentence is not as relevant as the psychological effect. So I don't know how much you can read into the specific examples he brings.
Well, I agree that it's a psychology, right? So you're concerned that you'll get Hezek Hasagas Gavul if your neighbor could see notice the key phrase here, Asakav, right? So if your neighbor could see what you're doing, then he could compete with you. You don't agree, Ned? So
I think it could just easily be as just he might think that you want to move the boundary post into his land because you're checking out his land all the time.
Okay.
If it's really just about the psychological fear, then the content isn't as relevant as the result. So I don't know.
If that, does that make sense? So let's see. I take this to be the primary concern. Chaver lo yasa asaka b'chater. Why? A few reasons, right? So the concern is you're not going to do this stuff in the backyard, either because you're embarrassed or because you're worried about, you're not going to do your stuff because of hezek asaka s'vol. Ned, I don't see why your theory would relate to this chilling effect on your doing stuff back there. Asagas Gvul is just about the land size.
I don't know how much it is, Gov. I think it's more like just you're working in your fiat. You're just working in your courtyard, and you want to avoid psychological discomfort.
So you think that your neighbor is going to move the land borders just because you're there and you see him looking at you? That's I don't know. Who likes Ned's approach? Who likes Zolti's approach? Raise your hand if you like Zolti's approach. Who likes Ned's approach? Ooh, Rafi's a little bit. I saw Rafi has like a little hand maybe. Ned, you're
outvoted. I'd point out that not everyone voted, but okay.
Right, not everyone voted. Josh Hirsch definitely didn't vote. Anybody else not vote? Ariel, how come you didn't vote? Romy, how come you didn't vote?
I honestly couldn't remember what Zolti said, so I didn't feel comfortable voting.
Yeah, Zolti was the last person to explicate that Sagat's Gvul theory. Right? I think it's really the trade secret issue. That's my preferred reading. Now, the reason why I think that's important. Oshar and Yonim Kayote Beilu. Meaning, it's not the concern here is just that you want somebody to be able to, you don't want any chilling effects on them doing stuff in their yard, right? And Misma has a whole range of what exactly the chilling effect might be. Notice he, if we take this as an interpretation of Tznius, right, the tznius here is not about dignity per se, even. It's economic tznius, right? So that you could hide your what type of business you do, or that nobody could steal the kind of work that you're engaging in. But I think it's a very important point. Kari, do you agree? Yeah. Okay, so Romy and then Ariel.
He's framing everything in terms of emotion, like Shaboshimenu, Shayira, Shayavo. Like that sounds actually a lot like it's not about, like it's about tsar. It's not about the property.
Because I think the first line here is the crucial line. Chavir lo yasa asaka b'chater. Why? Because bosh or yarish yevlo hazak asaka tzvul. Meaning, those psychological considerations are just the things that explain why he's.
I guess it's like. I mean, I don't know how exactly you know which part of the line to weight more heavily, but you know, for example, why wouldn't he say something like "Kigon shechaver lo yasa eska bechatzer"? Okay, mikol shabosh, you have to say, but you could have said "Oh shiara mehezek hasagas gul." I mean, sorry, you could have said "or hasagas gul." You don't say he fears hasagas gul.
Because those are all reasons why he's going to forbear from doing activity in his yard.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning the emotional distress component just explains the thing that itself is the legal problem. Mm-hmm, the legal problem is that therefore he's not going to maximize his use.
Okay. I don't know. Well, why do you feel compelled to weight that more heavily?
Well, notice he's trying to say that it's goremes hezek. Indirectly, right. It's not the re'iya mitzad atma, right? It's not the actual seeing,
right?
And I think his whole point is that the reason why it's not why it's indirect is because it's the effect of the seeing in generating the loss of use.
Right. Well, I'm saying, but that's not a raya for any. I mean, you could say it's his ability to see that causes the tsar. I'm asking why you prefer the beginning of the sentence, Chavir Leyasas Kav, the Chatzir, or whatever, to the second half of the sentence where it talks about Bosh and Yura and whatever.
So I think these are, the way I read this is, Kigon Chavir Leyasas Kav, the Chatzir.
I think it's
Mikoach Shebosh Mimenu, or Mikoach Sheyare Sheyavalo Hazakas Agasul. Right, meaning I think these are all just trying to explain, like, you, why lo yasa asaka b'chater. That's how I understand it.
Okay.
Right, see that?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody thoughts on this reading or problems with the reading? Ariel?
Yeah, it seems that the hizik raya that it's explaining here isn't actually some sort of nezek coming from the raya itself, rather the hizik raya opens up to the opportunity of other isurim to happen. Are we reading the earlier part of when he's able to see what's growing, the omed b'komoteya, as like ayin ra included in there as what's happening from the hizik raya, but it's direct from the hizik raya, whereas here there could be husha or something else coming from the hizik raya?
You could see here he says mashe inkin sade b'komoteya de hara'iya mitzad atma sholetef they go remes hezek.
So
when it comes to like the viewing your friend's field, you think there's something direct, right? That's the only thing that would rise to the level of nezek yashir.
Does that mean that his agrai always has to be connected to an external or some sort of other isser? Like, is there ever an isser of just his agrai? Because it seems he's attaching either hasagas gvul or the busha as what the isserim might be if it was indirect.
Well, no, I think if there's no isser, in my reading, there's no isser of busha or isser of asagas gvul for the sma. Those are just psychological facts that explain why re'ia leads to loss of land use.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As opposed to the one case, he's trying to say, why is there one case that the Shulchan Aruch says hezek re'ia is a type of nezek? What's that one case? Asal adam lamud v'sade chavir b'sha shemet esukam osa'a. Right?
Uh-huh.
That's the one case that's mentioned in Hilchos Nezikin, because there it's the re'iyah mitzad atma that's gorem es hezek. There, whether it's, I don't know exactly how he understands ayin hara, but he thinks that's like direct harm. But that's the only type of direct harm. All the other harms of hezek re'iyah are indirect instruments of depriving land use.
Oh, so he wouldn't view the hasag as full as its own isser. He would just view it as a nezek.
He's saying that. Correct. Hasagas gavul, the fear of hasagas gavul is just a reason why you're not going to do your business outdoors in your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want your neighbor to see what you're doing and be able to compete with you. Mm-hmm. Right? Or see who your customers are so you can poach them, something like that. Right? Good? Everybody with me? Yes? No? Okay. So just in addition, so there are two important points to take away from the Sma. Number one, the Sma is, except for the case of Asal Adam Lamud Al Sadeh Chaveir B'Shashi Omenes B'Kamoseh, the Sma is in the Miniyas Tashmishin camp, loss of use of property. Number two, the Sma appears to have almost very weak criteria for what's considered wrongful deprivation of land use, right? Just not being able to do your asakim because you're afraid of economic competition is considered a legitimate ground for the halacha creating rules of hezek re'iya. Somebody see that? I think that's a little bit path-breaking in that of the Rishonim that we've seen so far, we haven't seen anybody put forward as, I would say, trivial of a basis for why tznius is a value. Yes, somebody, right? So here you're saying, well, tznius is a value so that people can't compete with your business. Do you agree with my reading? Romy, what do you think of that?
I don't know if that's what he's saying, right? I mean, once you get to that part of the sentence, I'm not sure why you want to read that as not saying it's not the competition that's the concern. I mean, yes, it's about usage, but maybe the reason he can't use it is because he's afraid, and that's the value, not we don't want you to be able to compete.
Well, let's put it this way. It's usage that is significant. Like, what is usage coming up against? Right. I guess you could say, oh, it's just SAR, right? It's he'll be in SAR if he has to do his business outside.
I mean, I think that's even more. That's the easier read. What I'm saying.
Because Yare.
Yeah. Like, what's the deal? That's not.
Ah.
That's not relevant if we really care about competition.
Yeah. So here's the debate between me and Romy right now. When you read that line, what's doing the substantive legal work? Is it the fact of hasagasvul? So like people should be shielded from, people should have an opportunity to develop trade secrets. That's like a very economic way of reading the basis of hasagria. Or is it really emotional? Like it's the emotional distress of a person's fear of competition that generates, that's just the reason why he's not going to use the land.
Like, I guess, what if you got him to, I don't know, like, sign some contract that said he would pay you, like, $1 billion if he violated Hasagas Gvul. So you know he's not going to violate Hasagas Gvul. Now there's the lad? I guess that could address the year thing, too. That's not a good example.
Right, you wouldn't be afraid of it, then.
But let's say you could know that he wasn't going to do Hasagas Gvul, if he doesn't end up doing it.
Yeah, yeah. You could create nafkaminas between those two. Sorry, you have a thought on that?
Yeah, the way I read it is, it's kind of like the Goremes Hezek, the only object of Hezek is the Chaver Lo Yasa Asaka V'chatzer. And then the Mikoach has a few different generators, as in there's a few reasons why he might not do it. He might not do it because he's just embarrassed. He might not do it because of Yare, because of this. But he's being clear that the harm isn't like a trivial harm. The harm is I don't get to do my ASEC. Given the path to get there is complicated. I mean, but we've seen Rishonim kind of just like, you know, taking kind of a scattershot approach of what's the path to get to an actual harm. I think yeah. The small is just searching for, you know, chart, as in he's getting creative with the Hasagas Gvul, saying he's not really sure. I mean, like he's trying to come up with reasons. Why would someone not be doing things in their chatzer just because someone's looking? And he's saying, okay, yeah. There's some reasons why someone might not do stuff in their chatzer because someone's looking.
I take it that's your way of siding with Romy, meaning you're saying that it's not the Hasagas Gvul thing that generates Hezekriya, it's just the Lo Yasa Asakov, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't disagree with you. I'm just wondering if the Hasagas Gvul is what grounds the Lo Yasa Asakov. Then you might think that the halachic interest in Hezek Ria can't be so different from the underlying reasons that grounds like the Lo Yasa Asakov in the first place. Like if the reason why I'm not doing my Asakov there is for economic reasons, then it's basically the halacha stepping in to protect the economic reason. But okay, fine. We could think more about that. I don't want to beat this till it's beyond dead. Okay, great. Okay, one formulation in the Jerisha. Let's see. So the Jerisha is also the same person as the Sma in his commentary on the tour. He also has a formulation here, and he just says, making a similar point, Dehanu hadinim haniskarim sham. So the Hezek Ria of Siman Kufin and Dalid, meaning everything except for Asal Adam Lama B'Sada Chavero, Hainu Shelo Yira L'Chavero B'Chatzero B'Makom She'Oseh Kamet Hashmishin V'Al Yidei Re'iyaso Yitzarech L'Mnoa Me'atzotam Kiyen Adam Chafet She'Chavero Yira B'Iskav. So this is a similar formulation. Just notice one thing. Focus on this formulation for a second. Does anything seem important to you here, Shmuel?
all you day read at all.
Well, when your friend sees you, you're going to have to, you know, forbear from doing certain things. Why? Yeah, what does that mean?
Because, like, you don't want your friends seeing your actions.
Yeah, your business, right? Your dealing. So he seems to have two different categories here, right? There is a person who's going to refrain from using his land, either because of tznias, or just because they have them chafet shechavira yirabasaka. Again, that just seems to be like a very weak ground for hezek riya, just the preference that people have that people not see them. So again, Rumi and Zachariah are going to say, well, that's just the reason why a person will refrain from doing activities in their property. But I just want to again reinforce that here, if the halacha is protecting your use of your property, simply because you have a preference to do it in private, then in effect, the halacha seems to be upholding your preference to not have your friends view your business dealings or your general doing, even if there's no like intrinsic value in them being private. Okay, that's the point I want to make. The point I want to make is that you could distinguish between things where there's an objective value in them being tanua and private. Maybe it's something about human dignity or whatever. And then there are things where it's just that a person has a preference that they be private. There's no objective value. And the halacha here is defending a person's right to have the preference to just do certain things in private, even if objectively there's no value in them being private. Zachariah, is that helpful?
Yeah, I think there's a nice callback to our discussion about Jashirim ago between, like, you know, Rashi, Divrei Hetzneya. What does that refer to?
The
mere preference is enough.
Correct. Excellent. Okay, fine. And that's, and he draws a similar distinction that the one exception where it's direct as opposed to the chilling effect on your use of your property is there is somehow direct. And he says, like, you know, Chazal just call all these things Hezek Riya. El shall kalu Chazal b'shem Hezek Riya, right? So there's a lot going on in Hezek Riya. It's really this compound word that contains all these different types of harms and interests. Okay. So that's the camp of the that talks about Minyas Tashmishin, Agina Nifsedes. That camp is opposed to the Ramban camp, which talks about the direct harm to the person of Hezek Riya, of Tsar and Nezek HaGuf. Want to just review one formulation here that I thought was similar to the Drisha in distinguishing. The Drisha's point and the Sma's point is to distinguish between the direct harm of Hezek Riya and the indirect chilling effect on your use of property. The Rambam in his response to the Chachmei Luniel, I just wanted to reproduce it here again. He says, guys, Chachmei Luniel, there's a big difference between Hezek Riya Shehu Hezek Gadol Vadai Sheyira Adam Kavera Beishu Omed Vyoshe Vaoset Tzrachav. The one part of Hezek Riya is Hezek Gadol, and then Hezek Riya, which is just in Abisha. Right? So again, that's the Rambam distinguishing between different parts of Hezek Riya, which we saw already. But I just, you know, one thing that stood out to me is this idea of Shehu Hezek Gadol, right? I just wanted to draw attention to that. Ram doesn't tell us why it's Hezek Gadol, but he says Shayir Adam Chaveiro Be'eshu Omed V'Yoshev Oset Tzrachav. And very strange. Just seems like the fact of you seeing him doing his stuff. The Rambam says that's like a Hezek Gadol. Anybody have a sense whether that fall, like which camp that should fall into? Intuitively, that feels a little more Ramban-esque. But I, you know, there's really no way, like Niske Adam Ba'adam, because he talks about Yireh Adam Chaveira, a person seeing his friends, while he's doing things. He doesn't talk about a chilling effect on how a person's not going to, not the fear of somebody seeing you. But I don't know, the Rambam doesn't really give us enough information, but he calls it a head of the guzzle. I don't know if anybody has a thought on this Rambam. I don't really have hard to get deeper traction. No? Thoughts on this? Shmuel, you have a thought on this Rambam? Or? But if you find head of the guzzle interesting, I mean, yeah, it's like a very strong formulation. Okay. So that's the camp of the Menias Tashmishin. Let's look now at this Girei Delay question, which I think can be related to this question about what type of Nezek is Hezek Re'ia. So the background for the Girei Delay discussion really comes from the second paragraph of Basra, Lo Yachbor, Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. What's the issue there? What's the main dispute? Romy?
Meaning is it Alamazik Lahazik Gatatmo or Alanizak Lahazik Gatatmo? The Rabbanan hold Alamazik and Rabbi Yossi holds Alanizak, and we say that Rabbi Yossi's mode in the case of Girei Delay that the Mazik would have to be Marhik?
Excellent. Nicely put. So, yes, a very deep, deeply interesting and philosophical question. There are harms out there in the world, right? But who has the duty to take precaution against those harms? Right, the harm generator or the would-be victim who would suffer from the harm? And it's an open question, right? Who has the duty to pay the cost of taking precautions against harm? Right, it's not obvious at all that the mazik is the one who has to take the precautions. And in fact, at least with regard to a subset of harms discussed in the second paragraph of Basra, Rabbi Yossi thinks that ala nizak laharchik atmo, the duty falls on the would-be victim. Right, Romy? Excellent. Yeah. So we'll talk about that when we get to the second perek. Again, very rich disagreement. So you can see Rabbi Yossi has this view in a few places. Zeh chofer b'soch shalov v'zenoteh b'soch shalov. As long as somebody's doing something in their property, they could do whatever they want. And the would-be victim has to take precaution against the harm. We'll talk about what motivates Abiyosi's view. Notice this rationale of zech choker b'soch shalo v'zenoteh b'soch shalo, right? You're kind of like, it's all just a permissible use of your own property, and anything that's in your own property is sanctioned. So maybe that's, again, that's like a conception of property issue. So we'll talk about this. But as Romy said, there's one class of Nezikin where the Amoraim report that Rabbi Yossi is Moda. So we paskin in general like Rabbi Yossi. That's the Gemara tells us on Chafei Mebeis. But Moda Rabbi Yossi b'Girei Delay, or Girei Delay. What are the cases where Rabbi Yossi agrees? What's the significant fact, or what's the significant feature of Girei Delay? Kaya, you want to tell us?
Yeah, I mean, so it literally translates to his arrows, right? So as in the justification there of Rabbi Yossi, oh, listen, I'm just doing it in my own yard. Clearly doesn't apply if someone's, the analogy it's given is shooting arrows into the other person's yard. So Rashi identifies the notable features of what is that category is hezeka mitoch yadav shel mazik, that is some sort of kind of direct from the source, maybe direct from the like the guy of the mazik, and number two, probably not a time delay, though it's not so clear from Rashi.
Yeah, excellent. Exactly. Here Rashi talks about it, and the second part he talks about a time delay, actually, in that second example of like, if when you stomp your feet on your floor, like the plaster immediately falls on the guy below you, that's Girei Delay. But if you stomp your feet and then like an hour later some stuff falls, that's not Girei Delay. Right? So I like the way Zecharia put it very nicely, that Rabbi Yossi's rationale seems to be you can do whatever you want in your property, but obviously that doesn't apply when you're acting beyond your property. Right? And Girei Delay seems to be a way of characterizing action beyond your property boundary, right? And whether that's defined by time or directness, that's why Rabbi Yossi concedes that there the mazik is duty bound to take precaution. Everybody good with that? Yes? Okay. So why is this interesting for us? Because the Rishonim in the first parak What are they struggling with? Where's Josh Brockman? I saw Josh with a hand up, right? Josh, what's going on in the first park? Did you get to see those Rishonim yet? Why are they interested in Geary Delay? Why are the Rishonim in the first park interested in Geary Delay?
Oh, well, I mean, there was a discussion about whether or not our thing of Hezekiah would be Geary Delay or not.
Yeah, exactly. And why is that important? Because you can see the Rimigash already raises this on Dafav. Josh, did you see this?
Yeah. The Afagab Dekanalan Kribiyosi, even though we hold like Kribiyosi, Damar Ala Nizak Laharsi is what Asmo, that it's the guy that you're damaging against, he has to stop it. And Asmo Hezekiah Girehu, he thinks that Hezekiah is a case of Gire Delay, which is where Kribiyosi would say it's on the Mazik.
Right. So in the Hezekiah discussion, the issue is why should we impose the cost on the Mazik? Why don't we impose the cost of building the wall on the Nizak? You want to do private things in your chut there? Pay for the wall yourself. Why does the halacha here require the mazik to chip in? Right? That's the issue. Snoping. So if we pass in like Rav Yossi, the duty to build the wall should be on the party who prefers to have maximal use of his property. That's what Rav Yossi Shita should entail in the first fire. So what's Rimigash's answer, Josh? As Josh told us, what's the answer?
Delay.
Yeah, Hezekiah itself is Gire Delay. Now, that's a non-trivial proposition. It's not obvious that Hezekiah is direct or immediate in that sense. No? But the Rimigash asserts it. Okay. He says, Damaral Nizuk Lahakazasma Hezekiah Girehu. And the Ravan, also one of the important Chachmei Ashkenaz, also has this. He talks about Hezekiah. He wants to just take us to these three lines in the Ravan who prepared this. Josh Hurt, you prepared this?
Yeah.
Fabulous.
V'ikasha ha'amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel helchazak Rav Yossi da'amar ha'nizak v'harchik atasma v'hacha mechayef mazik. So he answers Tarts Ha Amri Moder Rav Yossi Begire Delay. The Hazak Riyaso Gire Delay Ninhu. Shemazak Biryasa Deena Bisha Mikali Kali.
Great.
I think this is just reinforcing what we just said, which is that it is considered direct damage. Hazak Riya.
Okay, good. So good and not good. Good in the sense that yes, it is reinforcing what we just said. But not good in the metaphysics that the Ravan leans on to substantiate Hezekiah being Gire Delay. Everybody see that? So why is Hezekiah Gire Delay, right? Why is that considered direct? So what's the main argument here? Josh, do you know what he's appealing to in Bava Metzia? What's going on here? And so it's Gire Delay. Shemazik biriyaso the einabisha mikle kali. Sokach olav lahachik etatma. You know what's going on with that mikle kali stuff?
Is this what we spoke about earlier? Where you are actually causing, you're just looking is causing real damage to whatever you're looking at.
Yeah, but how did that happen, right? So he leans on this Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara says if you find an aveda. Where if you find an Aveda, you can't hang it up in your house, right? So you can imagine if you live in Iran and you find a beautiful Persian carpet. Do Persians make nice carpets? I think Persians make nice, right? So you find a nice Persian carpet and it's lost, you want to hang it up on your wall to show off to your friends. So the Gemara says you can't do that. Why? Because Shiny Hasam, the Mikla Kalila, Imishim Eina, Imishim Ganvi. When you hang it up, you're basically burning it. Rashi says, Husarfa. Right? When you hang it up, you're basically burning the beautiful Persian rug. Okay? I think Mara says, either because of Eina Bisha or Ganvi. So Ganvi is obvious. Now, your friend who loves Persian rugs is going to steal it from you. Right? Or because of Eina Bisha. What's the Eina Bisha argument? Let's see. Rashi here says. Or the Gemara just says Mishum Eina. Sorry. What's the Eina thing?
It's just people that look at, like, the more people look at it with like a little hint of jealousy or negativity or whatever you want to call it, it's going to cause some kind of harm to that object.
Yeah, that's great. And the Gemara, exactly. And the Gemara calls that, Mikla Kali, which is the language that the Ravan picks up on. And Rashi, that means that you're burning it. So the Ravan seems to say, well, there's something about the direct looking that constitutes Gire Dile. So that's great if you're in for the robust commitment to the eye, the visual seeing burning it up. You can see why it's Gire Dile. The challenge is if you don't go in for that, and you can see the Ravan's not so comfortable going in for that. He has to appeal to a Gemara to go in for it, right? He's not saying, oh, look, we all know as they agree, he excites like an obscure Gemara in Bava Metzia about, you know, Ayin Hara on lost objects. So he recognizes that you need to motivate why Hezekiah should be Gire Dile. So if you don't go in for this, why should it be Gire Dile? Right? It's not so obvious. And again, other Rishonim say it's Gire Dile. The Ramban says Gire Dile. Seems to be like most Rishonim assume it's Gire Dile. So what would make a Gire Dile, Josh Brockman?
Well, if you're like a tsar kind of guy, you can say like just like shooting arrows is like shooting physical harm at the guy. Like you're shooting like emotional harm at the guy. You know, you're directly shooting, you know, however you want to phrase it.
Yeah, I guess you could say, you know, looking at him is like, yeah, it's like putting on the tsar gun. Harming him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to say something like that, although it's a little harder to get me on board for that. But I hear what you're thinking. Let's hear Zacharia then Romy.
Yeah, I just want to question the entire enterprise of applying Gire Dile to Hezekiah, right? So just the context of Gire Dile is talking about, you know, Harchakas Nizakin. And if you're planting a tree, which is going to have, you know, violently spreading roots, it's going to affect his cistern. Okay, so you got to distance your tree. Is it so obvious that just like, you know, living in the same chutzner as someone else, that these categories of, oh, Alamazik, Alaniza, or my gear, is that like if you're going to go full Ramban, just say it's Nezik. You don't need to borrow this, like, Hilchos Shchenim Halacha. Just say, well, we can't be Mazik each other. As in, and kind of coming back, the fact that all the Rishonim do appeal to Giri Dibla and say, oh, well, how does it fit in the Harchakas Nizakim framework? I don't know. I think that was something that stood out to Noah and I. I don't know what people think about that.
Yeah, let me respond to that. And this actually is a question that we have to, we can only really take up when we analyze our next question. See, I think the question is what's the scope of issues that Gire Dile is relevant for? That's the point you're making. You said one thing that I found controversial. You said if it's true Nezek, then you don't even have to appeal to Gire Dile. I think you said that, right, Zacharia?
Yeah, like it doesn't come up in Mava Kama. You don't need to, well, by Aish it does. So I guess that's
bad. But, right, but I'm saying that might only be because in Mava Kama, it's so obviously a Gire Dile. Meaning, the point is that when you have a direct harm, so then it's obvious it's Alamazik Lahar Chikatsman. Even Rav Yossi agrees to that. And it's not that there's something different about the Harchakos Nezikin cases in Mava Kama. The point, rather, is that sorry, it's not that there's something different about the Harchakas Nezikin in the second parak of Bava Basra. The point is just that those are less direct forms of Nezek. So you have Hechitimsis where they're not Gire Dile. And then, but I think it might be perfectly fine to say that Rabbi Yossi's theory in principle would apply to all cases of Nezikin. Meaning, assuming there's no Gire Dile, as a general rule, all Nizak L'Archikatma. I do agree with your point that if we're in just property land here, like pure Shchenim land, in the sense of regulating competing demands of land use, then Gire Dile is like a wrong category because we're not dealing with Nezek type issues at all. And that would be like an easy way to solve this problem. Why it's Alamazik, even though Rabbi Yossi has his theory, because we're, you know, this is like a separate issue. We're just stepping in and creating rules for it. It's not mazik v'nizak type question. Right. So I agree with you in that sense. Do you agree, Zacharia?
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Okay. So how is hezek re'ia gire delay? So what do you think? Someone has to have a theory for this. So we have one suggestion. Anybody to see the Chazon Yechezkel on this? Reb Chaskel? Yeah, so let's take a quick look at Reb Chaskel for a second. I thought he had a really insightful comment. Let's look. So he distinguishes, he runs with this Chakira. Let me pull it up. Did everybody see the Chazon Yechezkel now, or do you still see the source sheet?
We see it.
Chazon Yechezkel. Okay, good. So, let's see. Here. So he talks about somebody who builds a wall next to his friend's window. The Gemara says that it'd be a fine, that could be a form, that's a form of hezek re'ia, right? You got to distance your wall from your friend's window. And he says, I don't understand. Why do you have to distance your wall? There's nothing in Binyan HaKosel that would constitute hezek of gire delay. So here we say, Alamazik laharchik atmo. But what's the direct harm that he's causing through the potential hezek re'ia? Okay. So he says this. Again, here he furthers the question. He says, when it comes to building a wall next to your friend's window, so true that it's possible that later on you'll generate hezek re'ia because you might lean on your wall or climb on your wall and look into your friend's window, but there's nothing in the building of the wall itself that would constitute an immediate harm to your friend. Right, so why does Rabbi Yossi think that's gire delay? That's the question over here. I think that's a pretty fair question. The architectural stuff doesn't generate the actual harm. Josh, you have a comment on this?
Yeah, can't you just say like the immediate possibility of looking is going to stop the other guy from like doing what he wants?
Yeah, okay. So that's what he says. It's the capacity for looking that generates the harm, right? We saw some of this in the Rimi Gash. So look how he formulates this. It's a specific formulation that I think is interesting. L'chein nira, shanemuke yosef sover, v'shayni bonek hostel keneged chalono shel chavero. Why? Because if you don't distance it, yesh achshav bebinyan hakotel, hezek shel gire delay, be'etzem habayis shel chavero. Right, because of his capacity to stand on his wall and peer in, nimna bal habayis milishtamesham tashmitsanua. That's going to deter the owner of the house from doing private things in his home. That's one of the key points that the Chazon Yechezkel makes. And then he says, cites the Rif, and he cites the Rush and the Tshuva that we saw. Mashma lo mipnei sheyesh behezek re'ia hezek siyuvi. Hezek re'ia is not an active type of harm that's created by your peering. Okay. And by that he means blah, blah, blah. It's not the actual looking. It's not midei histaklo b'chol pam upam. The harm is not when you actually look at him when he's doing private things. Rather, it's because of the looking that the gina loses its status as a gina. She'agina, nifsida hagina, she'ifsa miyos od mako muchsho l'tashmit tzanua. At the moment, it becomes no longer capable of sustaining private activities. Therefore, applying that to the case of building a wall, Rav Yossi Modeh Bezeh, Lefi Sheba Oso Kosel Shehu Somech Achshav El Chalono, Hu Mafsid Es Beso, She'eino Od Mokom Haroi L'Divrei Hatzneya. So what's he saying here? What's the core argument of the Chazon Yechezkel? Core argument of the Chazon Yechezkel, Romy?
Meaning that Hezgir is geared delay because the second you don't build, you open a window or you don't build a wall or whatever, you've now caused damage to the person's property or to the, meaning the capacity to use the property.
Yes, yes. Notice how, does everybody see that in the Chazon Yechezkel? So the Chazon Yechezkel is troubled, right? He says, I don't understand why Hezekiah has Giri delay. The Gemara seems to assume that these dinim go into effect when you, at the architectural moment, when you build the wall, you open the window, etc. But at that moment, there's no re'iyah going on, correct? Everybody agree? Right? You think Giri delay has to be simultaneous with the action, right? That's prohibited. So the building the wall, the opening the window, etc. But there's no actual re'iyah at those moments. So how could those things constitute Giri delay? And his answer is that Hezek Re'iyah is not about the actual viewing. Hezek Re'iyah is about the architectural problem that a house juxtaposed to a window or a window juxtaposed to a wall no longer is a private residence. And therein lies the harm, like the Rush, like the Sma. Okay? So it's pure Nizkei Mamon in how it diminishes the use of a neighbor's property. Notice, let me ask you guys, how does that relate to the Ravan theory? So how does that relate to the Ravan theory of Giri Delay? Ned, how does that relate to the Ravan theory of Giri Delay?
Not sure.
Not a valid answer. How does it relate to the Ravan theory of Giri Delay? Chaya?
I don't know, kind of viewed as diametrically opposed, right? The Ravan is saying Giri Delay has to be an active, time and place nezek, crime, while the Chazon Yechezkel seems to be saying that Giri Delay is much more about, there's a instantaneous harm to the property towards, and therefore he doesn't need to reach for Ayin Hara.
Exactly. I think that's exactly right. The Ravan goes in for a, he says, why is Hezekiah Giri Delay? Oh, because there's something about your actual viewing that's burning up the object of your viewing, right? The Mikla Kali thing in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Everybody see that? That's one theory of why Hezekiah Giri Delay. That assumes that the Maisa Nezek consists in the Maisa Re'iyah. The Chazon Yechezkel goes the exact opposite way. He says, the Gemara puts the emphasis on the moment of constructing the window or the wall that creates the Hezek Re'iyah, but at that moment there's no actual Re'iyah. So Kamash Malan, it's not Giri Delay in virtue of the seeing, it's Giri Delay in virtue of the architectural juxtaposition, the capacity for seeing, which then limits what your neighbor could do privately in his field. Everybody see that? So opposite perspectives on what Giri Delay is in Hezek Re'iyah, and opposite perspectives in defining wherein the harm of Hezek Re'iyah lies. Okay, whether it's the seeing itself or the architectural effect on the use of the neighboring property. Now, I want to make one further point, and we'll conclude with this for today. Sorry, I'm going a little over. So, just want to draw your attention to one line in the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Kuf Nun Daled. The Shulchan Aruch here cites the Rush and says that Hezek Re'iyah is Giri Delay. Tzedek Rama cites the Rush. That's why it's alamazik laharchik. Then in Amiyu Yesh Omrim, the Rama says, Umiyu Yesh Cholkin, Visfir Luhu Dehezek Ria, Mikri Hezeka de Mimela, Umiyachar Shasa Beheter Alanizak laharchik Atmo. He says there's one view out there, or the Yesh Cholkin, that holds that Hezek Ria is Hezek de Mimela, meaning the Hezek is a pure byproduct. It's not something actively caused by the mazik. And because of that, if initially a wall was built to Heter or something and it later generates Hezek Ria, we're going to impose the duty of taking caution on the Nizak. And you could see, if you don't buy my reading here, the Pitzchei Tshuva, Sait of Akiva Eger, says, blah, blah, blah. The after harama kasav the yesh omrim the gam bechalon lo have gire delay. See that? Taisa Rama is holding that in general, opening a window is not considered gire delay. Well, he's like, it doesn't matter. Most poskim disagree with this Rama. So it's just an interesting point here that at least there's one view on paper holds that Hezekiah is not gire delay. So we want to think about that view a little bit and the significance of this machlokas. The Chazon Yecheskel actually cites this view. So I want to discuss that a little further. So just to review what we covered today. So we covered the Shitos that hold that Hezek Ria is Minyas Hashmishin, different formulations of that in the Sma and in the Rush. And then we covered this question of whether Hezek Ria is Giri Delay. And this very important machlokas of first, in virtue of what makes Hezek Ria Gira Delay, fundamental disagreement between the Rabban and the Chazon Yecheskel, that extends to a fundamental disagreement about where we put the moral wrongdoing in Hezek Ria, right, in the looking itself or in depriving the capacity for private use. And then we have this last machlokas, which denies this question about whether in fact it's correct to assume that Hezek Ria is Giri Delay. I think this raises the Charya's important point. Is there a non-Giri Delay route to explain why it should be Ala Mazik L'Harchik Asma? Right, Charya, that was your point. So I want to pick up with that a little bit. And that will bring us into this Chakira in the Achronim, of whether it's right, maybe it's wrong to think of Hezek Ria and Nezikin categories altogether, right? And this gets back to the Rush's point that we started with, to think of this in pure land regulation Kinyan categories rather than who's harming who. Okay, I know I promised we'll talk a little about Kilos Yaakov. I'll say something about him. We'll look at some other Achronim, but I'll give specific guidance for what comes for the next year. Okay, shkach everybody. Sorry for keeping you a little late today. Gemar chesima tova to all. Let me throw out some possibilities if you want to do something over Sukkot. We'll put our heads together and think maybe it might be fun to see if there's like a restaurant or something that's open, if anybody's around the New York area. But I'll send out an email along those lines. All right, shkach guys. Gemar chesima tova to all.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a quick question?